Well, hey, hey, hey. Hi there. Welcome to the Kim Constable podcast. Nobody cares. Work harder. How did you enjoy day number one yesterday? Hopefully you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed teaching it. This is honestly my favorite information to teach. And the 40,000 women in the challenge are telling us that this is literally the best thing they've ever heard. Like somebody is finally explaining to them why their body is changing and what they can do about it, which is exactly what I'm going to cover today. So today I'm going to tell you, yesterday I covered why your body has changed. Today I'm going to tell you what you can do about it, because there is something that you can do that will completely shortcut the process, short circuit the process. You do not need to let your body destroy your waistline. You can actually step in and take back control of what is happening. So today I'm going to teach you the secret that no one ever told you, and I'm going to completely blow your mind, because at the end of the session you will know exactly what is happening inside your mature body that is causing it to sabotage your best fat loss efforts. You're going to learn how over 50 your body actually tries to store more fat. Prepare to know more than 99.9% of your friends about fat loss over 50. You're going to be able to teach them exactly what they're doing wrong after this masterclass and become a knowledge guru in your circles, and people are just going to love you for it. So enjoy this episode, and I will chat to you again tomorrow, where we are going to be talking about how you can ditch the excuses that you have been using to keep yourself fat and unhappy. And that's all coming tomorrow. Okay, enjoy the episode, and I will chat to you again tomorrow for day three.
Hey team, how you doing? Welcome back to day two. How's everyone doing today? Did you all enjoy day one? Did you like taking your photos? You're all like, no, Kim. No, we did not enjoy taking our photos, but we know it is a necessary part of change. Yes, it is a necessary part of change. And I am very, very, very proud of each and every one of you for getting real, whipping out that camera, taking those photos. And don't forget, nobody is going to see them but you. I absolutely love day one. Like, this is honestly, I think, the most energetic and involved group we've ever had in any of these challenges. And I just love teaching these challenges, but I couldn't do it if it wasn't for you. So I just want to say thank you so much for showing up for yourself, showing up here live, and really making the effort to give your best self to this challenge, because I promise you, you are not going to regret it. I just realized I didn't turn my wee light on today. I'm going to turn it on here for a wee minute and see, kind of give myself a wee bit more. How's that? Yeah, just show up a few more of the wrinkles. Yeah. Although I do get a lot of Botox, although I'm due to get it in my head, which is why it's still looking a wee bit wrinkly. But anyway, enough about me. Let's talk about you. So what are we going to talk about today? Well, today's masterclass is called Fat Loss Over 50, The Secrets No One Ever Told You. Because honestly, do you not think that they should be teaching this stuff, like, you know, I was going to say in school, maybe school's a wee bit young. Don't think anyone's thinking about being over 50 whenever they're in school. But I just think that this information is so missing from the world. Like, this is the key, I think, to really understanding the changes in your body. And it's not fair. Men don't have to go through these changes. Men just wake up every day, feel completely normal in their body. Yes, they have, like, I guess, lowering testosterone levels and that kind of stuff. But like, their testosterone dropping really does not cause a massive host of problems like women does. Like, it's, or like we women have to go through, it really isn't fair. I'm gonna lodge a complaint, right? I'm gonna put in a complaint. Yeah, that's what I'm gonna do. Don't know who I'm going to complain to, like my poor suffering husband, complain to him. But anyway, right, what are we going to talk about today? We're going to talk about the secrets no one ever told you. Yesterday, I told you all about why your body is trying to store more body fat. I told you that I was going to tell you today what you could do about it. And that is exactly what I'm going to do now. Okay. So let's get started. So let me just start with a quick story. My entire life, I have been obsessed with dieting. And that's why I'm like so qualified to teach all this to you. Because whenever I grew up, there really was a lot of fat shaming in my family. Now, not fat shaming of me or my sisters, but just fat shaming in general. And, you know, it's just, I can't blame my dad, because it's how he was brought up, because my grandmother used to, you know, do a lot of fat shaming, and she was the loveliest, sweetest woman you'll ever meet in your entire life. Like, she really was fabulous, but she definitely had learned whenever she was younger that being overweight was really not acceptable. And we learn these things from our parents, right? This is the issue. No one ever grows up trying to be mean or wanting to be mean, but we learn these rules from our parents. Like, one of the other rules that I learned from my mom was boys should not have long hair, because my mom used to comment, oh, look at that awful long hair. And, oh, I don't like long hair on boys. And so we all grew up, my sisters and I, believing that boys should not have long hair. So you adopt these rules from your parents, okay? And I definitely adopted the rule from my parents that you should never, ever be overweight, ever, right? Not acceptable to be overweight. And I'd never really defined what overweight was. I'd never really considered what it meant to be overweight or what did overweight mean. Did that mean just a little bit overweight? Did that mean 20% body fat, 25% body fat, 30% body fat? Like, what actually was overweight? That's how you can tell if something is an arbitrary rule that doesn't really make sense or if something is based on data. Certainly the rule that I learned that it was not acceptable to be overweight was not based on data. It was just based on my grandmother and my father's opinions on who was overweight and who wasn't overweight and what was acceptable. Why am I even telling you this? Because I definitely grew up being obsessed with being lean, right? With being thin. I was obsessed with muscles from when I was a little girl. And I guess that's kind of good that I was, because now I own the world's largest online vegan bodybuilding company. But I was obsessed with muscles, but I wasn't really, I guess, obsessed with muscles themselves. If I think about it now, I was obsessed with what muscles represented. Because if you could see lean muscles, right? If you could see striations in your shoulders or abs or those kinds of things or lines down your quads, that meant that you were really quite lean. You were thin enough to be able, you had low enough body fat to be able to see those muscles. And that was very pleasing to me. So a lot of our patterns that we carry over into adulthood are downloaded when we're children, and we don't even know that we have them. They're just rules that we pick up from our parents. So if your parents believed in comfort, or if your parents comforted you with food whenever you were a little girl, and anytime you hurt yourself or you were feeling upset or whatever, if they took you for ice cream or they covered up your negative feelings with food, you will have grown up with a link between eating food, comforting yourself with food whenever you have negative emotions, rather than teaching you just how to move through your negative emotions and how to deal with those because they're part of life. They perhaps inadvertently and with love taught you to cover those negative emotions up with food. So in my family, definitely we were not taught to cover our negative emotions with food. We were taught that it was unacceptable to be overweight. So I spent my entire life trying to be thinner, literally trying to be thinner. But it wasn't even that I tried to be thinner, as in like I dieted constantly. I did on and off. I just used to look in the mirror and find it unacceptable if I had any excess body fat. Why am I telling you this? Well, because I was always jumping on, I guess, the latest fad diet or the latest, you know, like anything. Like I tried the keto diet. I tried Atkins diet. I tried intermittent fasting. I tried low calorie diets. I tried, you name it. I tried every flipping diet. I even did this food combination diet years ago whenever I was younger, which was like you weren't allowed to eat fat and carbohydrate at the same time. You could eat protein and fat, or you could eat protein and carbs, but you couldn't eat fat and carbs together. And to this day, I have no idea what the science behind that is. And I know a shitload about food, and I still have never been able to figure out what the science was with that. But just kind of like intermittent fasting, a lot of people think that there's some kind of real science behind intermittent fasting. They're like, oh, intermittent fasting really works for me as fat loss. Intermittent fasting is really just calorie restriction. Because you're only eating within a certain window, you're not able to eat as many calories as you would be if you were able to eat all day whenever you're awake. So it's really just calorie restriction. That's all intermittent fasting is. But because you have these rules of windows, it works because people calorie restrict within those rules. So anyway, I was obsessed when I was dieting. And then one day I remember I read a book which introduced me to the slow carb diet. Okay, the slow carb diet is a diet which was developed and coined by Tim Ferriss, and I read all about this diet, and apparently the fat loss on this diet was supposed to be absolutely phenomenal. Like they promised, like you can lose 5% body fat in your first 2 weeks. So I was like, oh, now understand, I was already pretty lean. Okay, I had let me see how many kids whenever I started the slow carb. Ooh, I want to say three. I think I had three kids. So I have four children, and I had four children in 5 years. So I spent a lot of time dieting in between the children to try to get back down to, you know, the size that I was previously. And I tried the slow carb diet, and I remember it did really, really work. Or at least I thought it really worked. I tried the slow carb diet, and it was very, very effective in fat loss. And the thing about it was, the slow carb diet I loved because it was more of a lifestyle. It wasn't a calorie and macro controlled diet. It didn't require a lot of meal prepping or thinking in advance. It meant that I could, because I was following a set of principles, it meant that I could eat out anywhere that I went. I could choose from the menu. As long as I knew what principles to follow, I could follow the slow carb diet. And then over the years, I realized that I only really needed to follow it 80 to 85% of the time, and I would still get the same results. So I didn't actually need to follow it 100% of the time. I only needed to follow it 80% of the time, and I would still get absolutely phenomenal results. So I developed the slow carb diet as a way of life because it really worked for me. It was super healthy. I'm going to tell you all about it in a minute. It was super healthy. It worked really well for my lifestyle. As a vegan, it meant I was getting loads of really good protein as well as really good carbs. And it just worked for diet and lifestyle. It seemed to be, it also supported my value of health. I have a massive value of health, right? Which is why I do what I do. And it really supported that as well. So then what happened was, I started bodybuilding, right? And I started bodybuilding and I went to my, I found a coach at the time and he said to me, I have no idea how to prep you as a bodybuilder. I have no idea how to tell you what to eat because I'm not a vegan, right? I have no idea how to coach a vegan in what to eat. And I said, well, look, I owned a yoga detox company at the time. It was an online company. So I was a yoga teacher and I was a kind of a nutrition expert in the world of, you know, detoxing the body and the liver and keeping the internal organs healthy and all of that. And so I said, I will figure out my own diet. Don't you worry. And so because I was very experienced in this low carb diet, I just continued to eat that way as a bodybuilder. But of course, I added in a lot more white starchy carbs, such as rice and pasta and things like that post-training. But like I managed to maintain about a 17% body fat all year round, even whenever I was building a lot of muscle, simply because of how I was eating. And then also what I found was my body built an incredible amount of muscle really, really, really fast. And I can't explain any other reason for that other than when I came to bodybuilding, because my tissues were stretched and healthy and clean from, you know, all of the yoga training that I've been doing and never stepped foot in a gym. This was only in 2016, by the way. So not even 10 years ago, only 8 years ago, I'd never stepped foot in a gym. And I had only been teaching yoga, but because my tissues were clean and my internal organs were clean and my liver was clean and fat-free, because your liver is your biggest fat-burning organ of your body, I believe that all of that, my diet and my lifestyle, the amount of water that I drank and how clean I kept my body really contributed to my body soaking up all of the training and the food and packing it into muscle, because I have put on an enormous amount of muscle in a very short space of time. So I managed to stay lean all year round eating this way. And I then, whenever I started my company, The Sculpted Vegan, I started to build a lot of my meal plans for my customers based on this way of eating. And they too had the most phenomenal results. Why am I even telling you this? Well, what I realized whenever I learned what I was teaching you yesterday about menopause and about, you know, being over 50 and your body trying to divert more energy to fat store to create more estrogen, I realized that the way that I had been eating since 2000, and I think it was 14, I discovered this low carb diet, 2013 maybe. I'm trying to think what age. No, Maya was born in 2010 and she was only one, I think, whenever I discovered this way of life. Was it even one? Was she even one? I think she was a baby. So I think 2010, I think it was summer 2010 that I started eating this way. So what's that? 12, 13 years ago, I started eating this way. So that's how much experience I have with this. And so then I realized whenever I started studying menopause, that the way I had been eating was exactly the way women over 50 needed to eat, or women in menopause needed to eat, to stop the body diverting more energy to fat store in order to create more estrogen. And I was absolutely blown away. And I believe that is why I have been able to get women over 50 such incredible results using my programs, because I understand exactly how they should eat. And that's what sets me apart from every other expert that you've maybe followed or whose programs you purchased that really just don't know this. Because of course, any calorie restricted diet will work, okay? If you go on a calorie restricted diet, even if you're over 50 or you're under 50, it will work if you follow it because it's calorie restriction. But here's the difference. It won't work as a lifestyle choice. And I'm all about making lifestyle choices. I don't want to just give you like a 4 week or a 6 week or an 8 week program and have you get really good results and then just fall off the wagon and go back to your ways of life again. I want to give you the tools that will help you to move forward in your life and to be able to carry on even after you finished, you know, a 6 week or an 8 week or a 12 week or a 6 month program or whatever you decide to do, whether you do it with me or someone else. And that has always been my goal. And so whenever I found out about insulin resistance and menopause, I realized that the slow carb diet was absolutely perfect, or not even the slow carb, but that I have developed, I guess, the slow carb diet into my own way of it, I guess. I can't think of a better word for it, but I have now coined it in my company, the menopause diet. Okay. So we have what is known in the company as the menopause diet and the menopause principles. So the menopause principles are what I'm going to teach you today, but you don't have to be in menopause to avail of these principles. They just work for every woman over 50. Okay. So that is what I'm going to teach you today. And once you learn this information, you are going to know exactly how you can move forward in your life and make really, really good food choices, right? Okay, so let's talk about fiber, first of all. So yesterday, I taught you a little bit about the digestive system and how it works, right? Well, what you have to understand is most of us live on a diet of cereal, toast, bread, pasta, rice, white starchy carbs, you know, all of these different things, right? They make up a good portion of our food. So 80% of the world has some kind of high carbohydrate breakfast. So cereal and toast, right? No, cereal and toast is known the world over as a breakfast food. So a lot of people have cereal and toast, or they'll have oatmeal, right? So oatmeal for breakfast is also good, or some kind of cereal. Sometimes people will have protein, but things like, you know, eggs if you're not vegan, or tofu, scrambled tofu if you are vegan, those kinds of food are seen to be more weekend foods, right? So you would go out for brunch, and if you eat eggs, you'll have like poached eggs with avocado on toast, okay? That's more of a brunchy food. Most people, because they're working or they're getting kids out to school, whatever, they don't have time to cook this kind of food in the morning. So what they will do is they'll run out the door quickly, or they'll get to work and they'll do like a sachet of oatmeal or whatever at work, or they'll have some toast or whatever. A lot of people are eating a lot of convenience food. And then what is lunch? Well, lunch is something grabbed from the local deli, or it's pasta, or it's sandwiches or paninis. Again, white bread, white carbs. Even if it's brown bread, it's still bread, right? We're eating a lot of our calories are coming from carbohydrates. And then we have some kind of snack in the afternoon. Maybe it's a protein bar. Maybe it's a cereal bar. Maybe it's, you know, a cookie or a biscuit or whatever with your cup of coffee, or maybe it's a scone or whatever, right? Or maybe it's some nuts, right? That's nuts is a really big one. Nuts or fruit, or nuts and fruit and yogurt. That may be an afternoon snack. And then dinner time is usually, again, carb heavy. It's, you know, potatoes or rice or pasta. We're always thinking about what is the carb with our meal. This is how most of us have been trained to think. But unfortunately, this is the problem. This is what is causing your excess fat gain in menopause that didn't, you know, you've been able to calorie restrict up until now and just, you know, and maintain your current weight, or maybe you're overweight and you don't know why, you don't like it, right? Maybe you're eating too much of the wrong foods. But for whatever it is, what you were doing before isn't working now. And you have to now start changing the way that you eat every day. If you want to still eat a large amount, a large volume of food and not have to diet, you're going to have to change what you eat, because your body is trying to divert more glucose into fat store to produce more estrogen. Your body has created insulin sensitivity. It happens to every woman over about the age of 45. That's when it starts to happen. Over 50, over 55, over 60, that over 50 is when it really starts to happen, because your body, your estrogen levels really start to decline. Your ovaries stop producing estrogen. Your menstrual cycle falls. So, or starts to decline, and it really does make a huge difference over the age of 50. So a lot of women say, oh, it's fine at 45. I can notice at 48, over 50, all just went downhill. So your body is creating insulin resistance to divert more energy to fat store. You can't stop it from doing that. But what you can do is circumvent the process. You can short circuit the process. Okay. And here's how you do it. So let me just explain to you a little bit about the digestive system. Whenever you eat, your body, you chew your food, it goes down into your stomach, and then your stomach does the next round of mulching, and then it goes into your small intestine. The more fiber your food contains, the slower the food is absorbed, the slower it's broken down. The slower it's broken down, the less calories are absorbed into the bloodstream. As I said before, I think I said this yesterday, I'm not sure. It's not important what makes it into the stomach. It's what makes it into the bloodstream. So it doesn't count. Whatever makes it into the stomach doesn't matter, because not all the food that makes it into the stomach actually makes it into the bloodstream. And only calories that are absorbed into the bloodstream are absorbed by the body. Anything else that goes through the small intestine into the large colon is simply passed out as poop. Why is this important? Well, if you were to eat a whole head of broccoli, only about 10% of that head of broccoli would be absorbed as calories, because broccoli is mostly fiber. And fiber cannot be absorbed in the small intestine as calories. It is passed into the large colon, and then it's mulched around, and then it comes out the other end as poop. So the more fiber your food contains, the harder it is for your body to break it down. It's like putting a tree trunk into a mulcher. Have you ever seen people cutting down trees in, you know, the tree surgeons, and they put like a big, massive tree trunk into a mulcher, and it goes nyong, 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 nyong. And like the bark is being shot out the other side. It's like, shh, it's like shooting it out the chute at the other side. But it going in, it's like nyong, 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 and it's not coming out as fast. Whereas sometimes they pick up a whole pile of twigs and leaves and small, you know, things, whatever, and they chuck it all into the mulcher, and it shoots out the other side really, really fast, because it can break that down really, really quickly. So the more fiber your body has, it's like putting a tree trunk into a mulcher. The less fiber your body has, it's like picking up a whole pile of leaves and branches and trees, small things, and just chucking them into that mulcher. And it will go flying out the other side really, really quickly. That's exactly what happens in your small intestine whenever you eat food that is either fiber-rich or is lacking in fiber. So another rule that you have to remember is the less fiber your food has, the faster it is absorbed. So white bread, white pasta, white rice, all of these things have been stripped of their fiber. So if you've ever seen a grain of rice in its whole form, it's black, like it's dense and it's black. But what they do is they strip all the hull off the rice, and then they're just left with a lovely little white soft grain on the inside. Practically all of the fiber has been removed from the white rice. So whenever you remove all of the fiber from the white rice, your body doesn't have to break down any fiber in the small intestine, in the stomach and in the small intestine. So that rice is passed into the small intestine. It has really high osmolality, and that means that it's absorbed through the intestinal wall into the bloodstream. So all of that rice is broken down really fast, and boom, it hits the bloodstream, and your blood sugar goes, pow! It's like a firework going off, right? Well, what happens whenever a firework goes off in your bloodstream? Your body goes, insulin! And insulin goes, we're coming! And insulin kind of runs through your bloodstream, and it starts picking up all the glucose, right? And it starts like trying to shove it into your muscles, and it's frantically trying to store all this blood sugar, because it needs to lower your blood sugar really fast. And your blood, your muscles are going, and your body's going, oh my God, oh my God. So your body goes, insulin! And insulin goes, okay, there's more coming. And your body pumps more insulin into your bloodstream, and more insulin picks up this glucose, and it's frantically trying to shove it in. It's knocking on the bloody door of your muscle cells and your liver cells, and it's trying to frantically store all this sugar, all this glucose. And your muscle cells are saying, no, 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 we are closed for business. And so insulin, they have a little meeting, and they go, guys, listen, there's nothing else we can do here. This is all just going to have to go to fat store. All the fat store. And so they go, right, off we go. And they pick up all the glucose and shoom, and they shove it and they put it into fat store. Well, they don't. They put it through the liver first. Your liver converts it to triglycerides, if you want to know the science. And then it puts it into fat store. And so your body gets fatter and fatter. And then your body goes, great. Now we have more estrogen producing cells, just in case we need them for the future. No, we do not like this. Stop, okay? So this is what happens when you eat white starchy carbs, white bread, white pasta, white rice. Anything that is white, was white, or could be white. Once it passes your lips, because it's been completely stripped of fiber, your blood sugar explodes. Now, Imagine you were to eat something much, much, much higher in fiber, like broccoli or kale or spinach or beans or lentils. Okay. You have to chew those things. Chew. Goes down into your stomach mulches it all around, goes into your small intestine, and your small intestine cells are going, oh God, we've got our work cut out for us here, boys. That's like putting a large tree trunk into a mulcher. Your small intestine breaks it down and breaks it down and breaks it down, and your stomach is, you know, is like mixing it all up, pushing it through, right? So your stomach has mulched it all up, your mouth has mulched it, your stomach has mulched it all, mixed it with stomach acid, pushed it into the small intestine. It's now passing through the small intestine, right? But it hasn't been broken down to a liquid. Once you eat white rice in your stomach, right? See, once that white rice goes through to your small intestine, it is liquid. And that liquid is like vapor, just goes straight into your bloodstream. I love to use the visuals of it so you understand it. Whenever you eat like a whole head of broccoli, or you eat lentils with broccoli and some, and say tofu, right? So your lentils, broccoli, tofu, green beans, spinach, asparagus, right? That's your dinner. All that goes into your stomach. By the time it goes through to your small intestine, it's literally like a log going through a mulcher. So as it passes through, there's like a carpet-like substance. So it's like they've got these little fibers, right, on the edges of your small intestine, these little things that like wiggle like this. And only whatever is absorbed up through those fibers into the bloodstream is taken up as calories, is converted into glucose. The rest of it is passed through into the large colon for fermentation, and it all comes out as poop. So you can imagine you eat this much, this cup, right? You eat this much full of white rice. Every single piece of this, practically, because there's so little fiber in white rice, even in brown rice, there's more fiber in brown rice, but it's still got very, very, very high glycemic index. So all of this is being put into, turned into liquid and absorbed into the small intestine. You eat this cup size full of lentils, and only about this much of it is actually going into the bloodstream. A tiny, tiny, tiny little amount of it. So why is this significant? Well, because if you are only passing through a very small amount of glucose into the bloodstream, then only a very small amount of insulin needs to be secreted. And if only a very small amount of insulin is secreted to store the very small amount of glucose, your muscles will take up the glucose, because your muscles still need glucose to convert to glycogen for muscle, for energy. But they don't need one full cups of white rice worth of glycogen. So if there's excess glucose in the blood, more than the muscles need, then your body, the insulin, will just store it as fat. And your body will try to produce more insulin, which is very bad for your insulin production, to store more of it as fat. And then your middle gets bigger and you get fatter, and you don't know why, because you're not eating any more. But it's not that you're eating any more, it's that you're eating the wrong type of carbohydrates. And that is how your body stores fat, but that is how you shortcut the system. What else have I said here? Lack of fiber equals more blood sugar. So basically, the more foods that you eat that don't have fiber in them, the more your blood sugar will rise and the more body fat you will store because of insulin resistance that happens over the age of 50. Oh, I've written here, warning. You need to retrain your microbiome. So here's another thing that happens that a lot of people don't think of. Whenever you are used to eating a diet that is high in sugar, let's say you have a sweet tooth, right? And you like candies and cakes and you know, biscuits and cookies and all those kinds of things, and tray bakes or whatever, or ice cream, right? Let's say you love all that stuff. Or let's say you even love, I'm going to say the F word. You ready? I always get into trouble whenever I say this word. It's not the word you're thinking of. If you're a real fruit lover, I'm afraid you're going to be very, very disappointed, because the primary sugar in fruit is fructose. Okay. So let's have a wee chat about fructose, actually, before I tell you about the microbiome. So I'm probably going to destroy your life, some of you here. That's what people have told me. I've honestly received death threats, just short of death threats, whenever I teach this information. You ready? You're all laughing. You're like, uh-oh, fruitgate. We've coined this in the company, Fruitgate, right? So here's what happens when you eat fruit. The primary sugar in fruit is fructose. And when I say primary, 95 to 98% of the of fruit is fructose. The only organ in your body that can store fructose is the liver. The only organ. So there are two primary organs in the body that uptake glucose to turn it into glycogen. And that is the liver and the muscles. But the muscles cannot uptake fructose. They can only uptake glucose. Whenever you eat fruit, fruit is broken down in the small intestine very quickly. Even though it has fiber, it does have fiber, but it still has an enormous amount of fructose. And that fructose is absorbed very quickly into the bloodstream. Because the liver is the only organ in the body that can store fructose, the rest of it is simply put into fat store. Because it's not even that your muscles need to create insulin resistance whenever you eat fruit. Your muscles cannot uptake the fructose from the fruit. And your liver can only store one handful worth of blueberries amount of fructose at any one time. So once you have eaten one small handful of blueberries and your liver, even if it needs more fructose or more glucose, more glycogen, then it'll store it, but the rest of it'll just go straight to fat store. So whenever people tell you that fruit is a really good diet food, it is not. Fruit is possibly the worst diet food you could ever eat in your entire life because it's just full of fructose. Is it really good for you? Yes. Does it have loads of really, you know, healthy nutrients that fight free radicals and all in the body? Yes. Is it really good for your over 50 waistline? No. And I really hate to burst your fruit bubble because I know that the Australians, especially because fruit is very abundant in Australia and in warm countries where fruit is very abundant. Here in Northern Ireland, fruit is not abundant. The only fruit that we grow here are like apples and oranges and pears, I think. And in the summer, we grow like strawberries and berries, but only in the summer, right? Fruit does not grow here. So we're not big fruit bats here. But in Australia, the Australians get very upset with me whenever I tell them they can't eat fruit. They're like, but what about mangoes? No. And they're like, but watermelon? But watermelon's good for you. It is, but I'm not teaching a nutrition class here. I'm teaching a fat loss masterclass. You know, you can't have your watermelon and eat it too. And so they get really, really, oh my God, I mean, I can never have fruit. Well, you can have fruit anytime you want because I'm not here to take your fruit away from you. But you just have to understand if you're choosing to have fruit, then you're literally choosing to have fat because really all the calories from the fruit are just sent directly to fat store. And I'm sorry to have to tell you that, but it's true. Now, here's another thing that happens when you eat foods that are high in sugar or high in carbohydrates. You train your microbiome to need sugar. So your microbiome is basically all of the bacteria in your colon. And whenever you eat a lot of foods that are cereals and toasts and bread and pastas and rice and all that kind of stuff, they're very, very, they're very high glucose foods, right? And so any fiber that's left over from those is passed through into your large colon. And that determines what bacteria grows in your large colon. And you will actually cultivate an entire microbiome of bacteria that feeds off sugar, that needs sugar to survive. So do you know what happens whenever you try to change your diet and you start eating more vegetables or you start eating more, you know, slow carbs or green, you know, cruciferous vegetables and that kind of stuff? Your body starts to push back and you start to get detox symptoms. You start to get spots. You start to sometimes get headaches, but also you get mad, mad, mad sugar cravings. And the reason why you get sugar cravings is because the bacteria in your microbiome are literally dying because you're starving them of their food source. And so they're going, feed me some more. I'd have like, what was that movie called? Little Shop of Horrors. They're like literally dying because you're not feeding them their food source. And that's why you get a lot of pushback. That's why you get a lot of people who are like, you know, have mad sugar cravings whenever they start eating differently, because their microbiome is trained to expect this food. And that is what the bacteria in your microbiome wants. It takes a little while once you change how you eat for your microbiome to catch up. And sometimes you can experience a little bit of flatulence, otherwise known as farting. I actually said to my chef, Lee, the other day, I was like, I do not know what you're feeding my husband, but sometimes I think he's going to blow himself off the couch when we're watching TV in the evenings. And he was like, Kim, he does nothing but eat legumes. He's eating lentils for breakfast. He's having lentils and beans and cruciferous vegetables for lunch, which is what I eat too. But I don't know, my body just doesn't react the way his does. And then for dinner, he's this and that, whatever. And I was like, Lee, he's literally farting. He could like power a space station with the amount of gas that that man produces. It is like some kind of natural, you know, he could like power our whole house with electricity. It is shocking to me. But that is what happens when you eat a really, really fiber-rich diet. Now, I've been eating this way for years and years and years and years. And Ryan tells me he's just talented. He always goes, I'm just talented. He loves farting. Any of you who have followed me for a while will have heard all of my Ryan farting stories. They're quite funny. But that is what happens in the beginning. Unfortunately, you will experience a little bit of gas, but I would recommend a good probiotic, okay? A good probiotic every day. Optibac is my probiotic of choice. You can also try some digestive enzymes, but I find a good probiotic really helps because that will help to pack your body full of good bacteria that you need to digest all of this lovely, rich new food. Okay, so what is your takeaway from today? We do have some homework for you as well. So in order for you to circumvent your body's need to try to store, to create insulin resistance, to store calories as fat so that it can produce more estrogen, you need to eat a diet below 20% in white starchy carbs. That's what I have found is the sweet spot. Now, if you really wanted to go like way like out there, like full on with this, you could eat only white starch. You could eat, sorry, a diet which completely cuts out white starchy carbs. So what is a white starchy carb? This is a really easy rule, okay? Anything that is white, was white, or could be white. And if you have to ask, can I have? The answer is probably no. So if you want to go full hog with it, nothing that is white, was white, or could be white, that includes white potato, sweet potato, white pasta, brown pasta, white rice, wild rice, brown rice, quinoa, millet, couscous. Now, the only exception to this is cauliflower. People always ask, can I have chickpeas? The short answer is yes, but chickpeas do act like a white starchy carb, so I normally avoid them. So cauliflower is the exception to this. You can have as much cauliflower as you want, and it's a free food. So what foods will you eat instead? Legumes and green cruciferous vegetables. So legumes, beans, and green cruciferous vegetables. So any bean, black beans, lima beans, kidney beans, pinto beans, any bean is fine. Any lentil is fine, not split peas. Okay. Split peas do not count. Lentils, red lentils, green lentils, brown lentils, black lentils. Okay. Green cruciferous vegetables, including broccoli. Green cruciferous vegetables, right? Because some people go, well, why can't I have such and such? Because it's a cruciferous vegetable. I'm like, but it's not a green cruciferous vegetable. So it must be green. Spinach. Green beans, kale, broccoli. Love me some broccoli. Any collard greens, any salad leaves, celery, cucumber, anything like that is totally fine. Okay. And that is what you eat instead of white starchy carbs. Now, here's the little caveat. If you're like, that sounds very extreme, Kim, and it does, but here's what I have found over the last 12 years of eating this way. You can have small amounts of starchy carbs as long as you keep them to about 20% of your diet, 15 to 20%. So the carbs that I will eat are sweet potato, quinoa, oats, because oats are a white starchy carb. Lots of people go, oats? I'm not allowed oats. So you can have oats, okay? Oats are fine. As long as they're not accounting for an enormous amount of your diet. So those are the only ones that I would really eat, I think. Couscous sometimes as well. So, but again, it doesn't really matter. Like you can have potatoes, you can have you know, white potatoes. You can have rice if you want, but you just have to think in the 80% of my food today was under 20% of it white starchy carbs. And if you can, choose the brown or whole grain version of it. So instead of white potato, choose sweet potato. Instead of white rice, choose brown rice or black rice or wild rice. Instead of, well, quinoa is a really good one because it is still, it's a whole grain whenever you cook it, even though it does pop. So you want to think about like things that are whole grains if you can, and you keep them to under 20% of your diet. The other thing that you don't want to do is have any fruit. So fruit, unfortunately, if you're going to help your body to stop storing excess fat over the age of 50, you want to cut out fruit. Or again, just make sure that fruit is part of that 20% of your diet that is very, very small. Berries are the best fruit that you can eat if you're going to eat them. But you don't want to be having mangoes and pineapple and that kind of stuff. I will usually have some frozen mixed berries on my oatmeal in the morning, or I will just have handfuls of berries to eat, right? You don't want to be eating, you know, mangoes and pineapples and real high sugar foods, really high sugar fruits. You want to keep it to berries if you can. No liquid calories. Now, there's a caveat you're going to love me for here. So liquid calories are fruit juices or orange juice in the morning or any sodas or even diet sodas, because they still produce an insulin response. So here's the thing about diet sodas, right? They don't contain any calories, but whenever you ingest them, they still produce an insulin response because they're sweet. So as soon as they hit your tongue, your body starts pumping out insulin to store the calories. So the more calories that are, the more glucose that's floating around your bloodstream that your body was lazily storing in your muscle cells and your muscles weren't resisting them, suddenly there's a big flood of insulin and it picks up all the glucose really quickly and tries to store it fast. And then your muscles go, no, 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 no. And your body instantly stores that as fat. So you can have a little bit of sugar in your bloodstream. This is one thing you have to remember. It's only when you have a flood of it that your body wants to store that sugar as quickly as possible. But you can have a little bit of, you know, it's like the lazy river. You can have a little bit of glucose floating around your bloodstream and that's fine. But if you have diet sodas or diet anything or no added sugar fruit juices, anything with no added sugar or no added sugar jellos or no added sugar, I don't know, anything, all that does is produce an insulin response in your body. So your body goes crazy trying to store whatever glucose is in your blood and more of it goes into fat store. And that's what we're trying to avoid. So nothing, no sugar, no liquid calories. The only caveat is I have found extensive, after Tim Ferriss told me this, but after extensive research, I have found that you can have one small glass of red wine every day. And when I say small, I mean 150 mils. One small glass of red wine every day, and it does not affect fat loss in any way. You're welcome. Not white wine, by the way, just red wine. Eat lots and lots and lots of protein and eat the same food over and over and over again. So you want to have protein at every single meal because protein is thermogenic. It keeps you feeling fuller for longer. The more protein you eat, the more calories your body burns. That's what thermogenic means. It means that it requires calories from your body to break down the protein. So you want to have protein at breakfast, protein at lunch, protein at dinner. And if you're going to have a snack during the day, then preferably you want to have a protein snack as well. The great thing about eating this way is whenever you eat millions of green cruciferous vegetables and beans and lentils, you really don't have to watch your portions. Now, here's the thing though, if you are going to have the 20% of things that are not allowed, like the white starchy carbs and fruit and liquid calories and stuff, then you can't have all out no portion control. If you're going to have that, give yourself that 20%, you do have to watch your portion control, but eat until you feel full. You can load up on broccoli and cauliflower and green beans and all of those lovely nutritious vegetables. But when it comes to the beans and legumes and any other sweet potatoes and that kind of stuff, you definitely don't want to be going too overboard on those if you're giving yourself that 20% window. But you will find that over time, this is a lifestyle. Once you start eating this way, you'll notice that you can eat the same amount of food that you're eating now in the same quantities, but just different food, and your body will start to drop body fat. And this is how you maintain your weight over the age of 50. And it is absolutely beautiful whenever you figure it out. Okay, so we have some homework for you today. Hopefully you've enjoyed this. The homework is, and again, go check your email because we have emailed this PDF to you with this homework, so you don't need to write it down. I want you to make a list of the top 10 foods that you eat the most at mealtimes. You'll know exactly what they are, the ones you habitually eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Be specific. Examples would be cereal, pasta, sandwiches, paninis, potatoes, peas, protein, vegan or non-vegan, tofu, etc. Number two, make a list of the top 5 snacks you like to eat. Examples would be cereal bars, protein bars, scones, cakes, biscuits, cookies, bananas, mangoes, pineapple, yogurt, pecan nuts, salted peanuts, popcorn, etc. Number three, make a list of the top 5 calorie-dense foods you like to eat. Examples would be pizza, burgers, lasagna, kebabs, Chinese takeaway, French fries, etc. Number four, for the next 24 hours, I want you to keep a food diary of everything you eat. Don't try to control or change what you're eating. Just note it down. Every morsel that passes your lips must be recorded. No one will see this diary. It is for your own use only. Remember to record all meals and all snacks. This will give you reality data about the choices you are making. And then we can chat about that in the Q&A later, or we can chat about it in the Q&A tomorrow if you want. And we can, you can read, but this is for you just to have clarity and to go, oh, wow, these are the foods that Kim said I could eat. And these are the foods that I'm actually eating. And clearly I'm eating all of the wrong foods. It just gives you a little bit of data about what you're actually doing so you can start to make active changes, because that is my goal for you in these 5 days. Okay, you like it? You're liking the information so far. Normally I like teach with a lot of stories and things, but this one I didn't want to, like, this wasn't really just about stories. We are going to get a lot more into mindset tomorrow, by the way. So these two first days were very data driven, very science driven. I really wanted to impress you with my knowledge so that you would trust me and know that I'm talking about. No, that's not true. I really just wanted to give you like the reality data. I wanted to show you, I know what I'm talking about here. And believe me, this has worked not just for me, but for hundreds of thousands of women the world over. And I swear to God that it can work for you as well. A lot of you have seen all of these pictures of women in the group posting, here I am at 50, here I'm at 60, here I'm at 70, here's me and my gorgeous body. And a lot of women in the group have been like, oh my God, I feel like I'm out of place. There's so many fit, you know, toned bodybuilder style mature women in here. That's only because they've gone through my programs and I have helped them to get that way. And now they're in the group showing you what is possible if you just show up and follow my programs. And unfortunately, I never, ever, ever thought in my million years that my success would work against me, because it's made a lot of people self-conscious in the group because they don't feel like they're in the right place because they're such, you know, in such a beginner. So it's been such good data for me, this group. And I realized that we now need to segment the 50s and 60s and 70s into different categories of training and ability and whatever. But I'm human. I'm learning. I'm growing. You're all growing with me. You're all teaching me and making changes as I see them. Just want to let you know you are in the right place. All of these women who are posting these incredible pictures in the group really started out like you. It's just that they have used the things that I teach to have success. And I know that if you use them as well, you will also have success. And that is my highest value for you. So I'm going to meet you back here in 3 hours and 15 minutes. We're going to do another Q&A. Hopefully you're enjoying today. Make sure you go and have your foods ready and written down, and you can ask me any questions that you want about anything I taught today. I can go deep into the science. I can give you real life examples, anything you want. It's a no holds barred Q&A later on today. And we're going to have so much fun. And I hope you enjoyed this, and I will see you there. Okay. Enjoy the rest of your day until we meet again in 3 hours. And thank you so much for showing up live. I adore each and every one of you. And I'm sorry for not taking any questions today, but I promise you I'm going to fulfill all of your questions and answers later on. Okay. Love you all so much. Bye now.